This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. He's Mr. Charles Robinson. Good to have you back, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Thanks for having me. Surely some Browns fans want to hit someone with a pipe based on this decision.
Well, now that's the way to play the game. Should they want to hit someone with a pipe based on this decision?
You know, I am taking it from a kind of a different vantage. I would have supported. It's interesting because, you know, if it comes down to McDaniels or Robert Saleh or Kevin Stefanski, I think any of those choices they all have merit to them, every single one of them, and it all depends on how you want to approach it. But my biggest thing was, if you're going to do this with any of these guys, the one thing that's got to change is, and this is what I wrote today, was, you know, Jimmy's got to stop having a mixed bag internally. He's got to stop bringing people in that are predisposed from day one to, you know, toward clashing with each other. And so the reason why I have some confidence in this Stefanski hire is because if Andrew Berry ends up being that guy, or if it's George Payton, you're talking about people that are all going to be on the same page from day one. And I think that is the most important thing here, is to have three individuals who are joined at the hip, and that I think really moving forward, it's funny because I compared it to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Every single time Jimmy Haslam comes in with, you know, with this nuclear option, a bad idea, whatever, you have to have those three individuals ready to throw up the embargo and influence the process the way that they do. And that does have, Browns fans have to understand, that does happen in other organizations where everybody is working together, sometimes in concert against an owner. You don't always tell the owner everything. You have side discussions before you go into meetings, things like this. That wasn't happening before because you had people on a different page. I think that can happen now, and I think that's part of how you get this right. Unless you can take Jimmy Haslam out of the equation forever, and I'm sorry, that's just not an option because he's the owner and they do what they want, you have to figure out a way to work the problem. This is how you work the problem.
Charles, I think a lot of Browns fans are just like, meh, on this thing. They're not totally excited, but I do think Browns fans are like, all right, well, let's see how this one works out. Is that fair? Is that the way it should be?
I think it's fair, but I would say that, you know, when Sean McDermott was hired in Buffalo, it was kind of a meh move. You know, when Matt LaFleur was hired in Green Bay, it was kind of a meh move. I mean, like, these happen in the course of hirings, and it's funny because sometimes I think they happen a lot when Josh McDaniels is a name that's kind of dangled out there, you know, and it's because people get really excited about Josh. They're like, he's, you know, they think of Tom Brady, they think of championships, they think of that, you know, that offense. They never think about how things went in Denver. Most people don't even know he was an OC in St. Louis, and it was horrible. You know, a lot of people don't look at the full resume. They just think about what has happened in New England. And you have to take that with a grain of salt, because the reality is everybody who comes out of there, aside from, say, Bill O'Brien, and I live in Houston, people want to fire Bill O'Brien here every day. You know, everybody who comes out of there and isn't attached to Tom Brady anymore from an offensive standpoint, they struggle. You know, they don't always, you know, succeed. They don't always have, you know, they deliver these championships and all these things. But, you know, again, I get from an experience standpoint why Josh McDaniels would excite people. And again, I would have applauded that hire, as long as you rip up the entire structure the way that it exists now and built it and streamlined it through Josh, because that's what, you know, happens in New England. That's what he's learned. So I get it. I totally understand where Browns fans are coming from, and there's always going to be distrust no matter what. But I'm just focusing on, can Jimmy just do the one right thing here and stop hiring people who are going to war with each other from day one?
Charles Robinson joining us from Yahoo. Charles, on your Twitter account, a little more on Josh, you said he wasn't going to an organization where Dee Podesta or anyone else was a side jury reporting to Haslam on his job. Are you surprised that Jimmy didn't buy McDaniels and buy his plan, and that maybe he was the number one candidate, but they passed on him because he wouldn't buy into what they were thinking?
Well, what's interesting about all this is, you know, I kind of had some arguments with people along the way here, and some of them were other writers, and this idea that, you know, oh, he doesn't care about having the 53. Okay, well, he doesn't care about having the 53 if he had Kevin Ziegler. Okay, if he's got his GM there, then he's sort of got his own 53. But this idea of multiple direct reports, Josh wasn't going to go for that. It was never going to happen. I have no idea where that was coming from. He was not going to work in that kind of a structure. Secondly, you know, this idea that Josh didn't care about Paul Dee Podesta, no idea where that came from. Absolutely flatly false. Josh absolutely cared about Paul Dee Podesta being in the organization, and Paul would have cared about Josh being in the organization. Those two guys would not be there together one way or another had Josh come in. And, you know, so when he comes in, you know, all these things are being sold, and I'm talking to people that are close to Josh, and some of them are like, I don't know where that's coming from. That's just not factual. And they told me to expect, like, hey, if and when Josh goes in, he's going to say, look, this is the structure that I want to exist in. I'm not a drop-in. I'm not a plug-and-play coach in the middle of what you're already doing. I am a, you know, rip it up and let's retool it and fix the structure coach. That's what I'm going to be. And I think that's exactly what happened. And that's why when the two, you know, when everybody got into the same room, Josh, to his credit, I believe was honest about what he thought he needed. I think the Browns were honest in terms of what they thought they wanted. And that's why it became so clear pretty quickly he wasn't going to be the guy. It's no stunner that Kevin O'Connell, who would have been his OC his offensive coordinator, had he taken the Browns job, almost instantaneously takes the Rams job when Josh gets out of his meeting and heads home. It's because they knew this wasn't ever going to work when Josh walked out of the building. So it's not stunning to me that either side looked at this and figured it out pretty quickly. I think it's more surprising to me that there was this weird sell in advance of it that I don't think was ever really fully accurate. At least I was told it was not accurate, and that was coming from inside Josh's camp.
Charles, so tell me this. Why did Jimmy Haslam buy what Dee Podesta is selling now when he hasn't, as far as we know, listened to him much since he's been here? And what is it that he is selling that they needed to hang on to, because there certainly hasn't been the success here, even if he has listened to anything over the last 4 years? Why do you think he was so locked into Dee Podesta on this?
You kind of have to crawl inside Jimmy's brain to fully know it. I mean, I think it's the unknowable with Jimmy. So many things are. And I think part of why there have been breakdowns in the past is because Jimmy has been so prone to sort of following the last voice in his ear, or, you know, following along with, you know, people who are influencing him. And I think all throughout the past failures, he believed Paul was smart. But I also think Jimmy, what I kind of described it as, you know, there's this idea, you build your ideology, you build your process through an ideology, or you select an ideology, then you attach people to it who are just smart and they're experienced, and geez, you hope you can get them to work together. I think he did the latter for a while. I think he was like, here's the ideology. I'm going to take guys I think that are smart and experienced, but not necessarily of the same sort of message or mind or goal, and I'm going to get them to work together. And it just never worked. And I think that's why it kept failing. You know, Hugh, he goes through the whole thing with Sashi and the analytics and, hey, we're going to kind of reboot it and we're going to build it up from the ground up. But then he puts Hugh Jackson right in the middle of it. And it was pretty clear, I think, early on in the process with Hugh, that Hugh was like, yeah, man, I'm not fully on board with this total teardown. And I want to be able to compete and win some games. I think after the Joe Hayden deal, it should have been crystal clear Hugh was 100% not on board. So I think it's constantly this mixed message. He's not fully listening to Paul, but he's not fully listening to Hugh. I wrote today about how when John Dorsey came into the organization, Hugh and John talked, and they're like, look, we got to get Paul out of here. Like, we need to just do this from a football standpoint, unify the message. And Jimmy's response to that was, yeah, no, not going to happen. You guys are all going to work together. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to put whatever I can into it to making sure you guys communicate and getting on the same page, which was a pipe dream. Never worked. It was, the guys were at odds, and it just slowly broke down along the way. So I would just say the reason why maybe you have some confidence in Paul working out now is only because this has not been done in terms of selecting everybody that's going to be together. Let's see if it fails like this. And straight up, I will tell you, if it fails like this, there's no other out. It's Jimmy. Like, it's Jimmy. He's got to do a Dan Snyder and completely remove himself from the football side of the operation as much as he can.
Charles, how do you think this affects the players on the team currently, like Baker Mayfield? I mean, what does this mean for Baker Mayfield?
I think it's good for Mayfield in terms of, you know, if you look at what Kevin Stefanski had to work with in Minnesota, I mean, there was a lot of play action. I think that's really the wheelhouse for Baker Mayfield in terms of getting the best football out of him. I would argue that Baker Mayfield, in terms of the ceiling versus a Kirk Cousins, I think you've kind of seen the ceiling of Kirk Cousins. It's been pretty consistent. I think there's more there for Baker over the long term, developed properly, schemed properly, the correct offensive line in front of him, the correct zone schemes, all these things. So, you know, I think it's good for him in particular, particularly if you have some continuity. Keep everybody together. This is what we're talking about, Baker's third offensive mind in 3 years. That's horrible. Terrible. He needs to stick with a guy. We're talking 3, 4, 5 years. Let this work itself out and build the roster around him. In terms of some of the other guys, you know, we'll see. I mean, there are certain guys that definitely were brought in that were fully John ideas, like Odell Beckham's a good example, but he's very talented, and I don't think you're all of a sudden going to get people in there and go, ah, we're just going to pitch this guy. I think they're going to study very closely the personalities and who they think, you know, continues to contribute to the team without undermining anything. And I tweeted this. I don't think they're open for business, but I do think they're going to look very closely at some of the John additions that maybe, particularly from a character standpoint, they don't think fit. And, you know, they'll listen if they feel like, you know, they're individuals that aren't going to be cogs moving forward.
Charles, thank you very much for being with us today.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it.
Charles Robinson, thanks, Yahoo Charles. Sports. You can hear his NFL podcast with Therese Paylor. It's a good one, so make sure you listen to it. And it's always great to have Charles with us here on the show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.